Welcome to the CyberMed News Podcast, where we interview prominent members of the digital health community so that you know who's working to change our healthcare system, what they're doing to address our current crisis, and how they're going about laying the foundation for the future of healthcare in America. Hi, I'm John Michael Oro, contributing editor at CyberMed News, a Colorado-based digital health site dedicated to covering the people, ideas, and companies transforming healthcare. In today's podcast, we'll be talking with Kevin Croth and James Dickoner, the founders of Orderly Health, a digital health startup that's attempting to reduce healthcare spending by giving patients a better sense of what they're paying for. Kevin and James will discuss how a lack of transparency in medical costs is playing a decisive role in America's excessive healthcare spending, and also share how their company is planning to save consumers money by bringing clarity to what can be a confusing and obscure market for many Americans. For years now, journalists, policymakers, and clinicians alike have depicted the U.S. healthcare system as a wasteful, Byzantine structure riddled with inefficiencies. Many have taken to calling it a broken system, with Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont even going so far as to refer to it as a global embarrassment. And while the healthcare debate in America has historically eyed poor access to care as the main culprit of this dysfunction, recent attention has shifted to the high cost of medical treatment itself, which in the last few years has swelled to a staggering size. Though it's true that healthcare spending has been increasing for decades in the U.S., it's only recently that the yearly amount Americans are paying for their medical treatment has grown to consume a fifth of their GDP. According to some estimates, U.S. healthcare expenditures will top $3 trillion this year. Tragically, the extraordinary amount of money flowing into the American healthcare system has yet to translate into world-class treatment, with the Commonwealth Fund's annual survey of 11 healthcare systems frequently finding the U.S. to rank highest in cost and lowest in overall quality of care. Some have sought to reassure the American public regarding this dismal state of affairs by emphasizing the recent reductions in healthcare spending achieved by the Affordable Care Act. But while the ACA has granted policymakers a modest victory over expenditures, the amount that Americans are paying for treatment continues to rise. And as the cost of healthcare increases, patients are bearing the burden, with annual out-of-pocket medical expenses expected to reach $10,000 for individual Americans by the end of 2015. To address this dilemma, many digital health startups have adopted the triple aim, which encourages innovations to both increase patient engagement and improve population health, all while reducing costs. Yet most digital health startups are focused on delivery of care innovations, with few tackling the problem of spending head-on. Kevin Croth, a former product manager at Electronic Arts, and James Dickoner, a recent med school graduate, have teamed up to do just that. Their digital health startup, Orderly Health, aims to cut through the labyrinthine payment structures that plague U.S. healthcare, bringing a sense of transparency to medical expenses so that patients can feel empowered to make the right decisions when it comes to their healthcare spending. Kevin, James, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, John.
So, Kevin, before founding Orderly Health with James, you were working as a product manager at Electronic Arts. What inspired you to try your hand at reducing excessive healthcare costs through mobile tech?
I had an experience with healthcare almost a year ago now, where I walked into an appointment. It was a normal appointment, and was thinking to myself as I walked out the door, I have no idea how much that costs. So I started to look into it, and I logged into all of my different accounts for healthcare. You know, I had an HSA, my insurance account, a VSP, and I think I had a dental account too. And I was just trying to total them all up, and there was really nothing that was out there that did that for me. And I also couldn't remember any of my passwords, and all of the portals that I was using were so archaic and ridiculous. And as a product manager, I found this like pretty offensive, right? So ultimately I started to ask around and talk to people and just see if I was the only one that had this problem. And it turned out that a lot of other consumers were facing the same issues.
James.
Yep.
A recent article highlighted the increasing number of med school graduates who are putting off residency to join digital health startups. What caused you to enter the ranks of these so-called dropout docs?
So it's really a push-pull for me. So the push comes from during my clinical rotations, particularly as a fourth-year med student, we start to manage our own patients. And on one particular rotation, I was working nights and was taking care of somewhere like five or six individual kids with asthma. And every one of them was in the hospital for a completely preventable reason. It was either that they didn't have an inhaler at grandma's house, there's an educational gap where they didn't understand the difference between a controller and a rescue medicine, couldn't afford it from the pharmacy, whatever it was. And each morning on rounds when I was exhausted, we'd sit there and talk about how we're going to get them out of the hospital, what needs to be done in the next 24 hours to get them out of here. None of our training was focused on how do we keep them out of the hospital in the first place. And it's not to say that there aren't people in medicine working on that, but as a physician, or at least as a medical student or resident, your focus is completely on treatment, cure, and very little on prevention. And that left me really, really frustrated and looking for a better answer.
What kind of long-term influence do you see digital health technology having on the U.S. healthcare system?
So I'm really excited about where healthcare is at in this country, not where we're at currently, but the fact that there's a groundswell of conversation going on about it. If you read your introduction 10 years ago, people would push back and say, no, America's healthcare system's great. I mean, you can go back and look at quotes from, you know, the early 2000s in the State of the Union where the president says, we have the best healthcare system in the world. I don't think there's very many people that argue that point anymore. And so with that, it means that digital health can kind of slot in as a catalyst. There's a lot of changes that are going to have to happen that go beyond digital health. The Affordable Care Act, I think, got the conversation started and got a little bit of momentum going, but there's going to have to be further changes down the road to really get us away from spending a fifth of our GDP on healthcare. But those conversations are taking place, and I think digital health's role is going to be accelerate that process.
All right, guys, what is Orderly Health, and how is your company trying to reduce the high price of healthcare in America?
Orderly Health is ultimately a data company. We want to help transparency by aggregating different sources of consumer data and then showing it to them in a way that makes sense so that consumers can be better educated on their own healthcare and how they're spending. And then on the flip side of that, so that also payers and accountable care organizations, physicians, clinicians, people doing research can better understand how consumers are using healthcare.
What obstacles has the company encountered so far, and what obstacles do you foresee it encountering?
When it comes to people's healthcare, I think that there's a lot of distrust out there. People don't like what they don't understand, or they don't trust what they don't understand. And I don't think that insurance companies have done a great job of ingratiating themselves to the consumer. So I think, you know, one of our biggest challenges is going to be getting the consumer's trust to say, hey, look, we're not trying to hoodwink you. There's nothing behind the scenes that we're doing that's you know, negative or ultimately manipulative. We actually want to help both sides of the equation. We want to help consumers, and we also want to help payers and the people doing the research. And then I think that some of the things that we'll foresee facing in the future, I mean, there's all sorts of legal challenges. There's going to be technological challenges. I think that we're going to face a lot of pushback from incumbents in the space, simply because data is such a valuable commodity right now. We're really concerned about not positioning ourselves as necessarily a competitor to people who are coming in, but actually an assistant.
According to Fidelity Investments, a couple retiring in 2015 will need to have $220,000 saved just to cover their medical expenses during retirement. How might Orderly Health assist retiring couples in offsetting the high cost of healthcare in America?
Orderly Health isn't going to be, you know, a panacea that drops medical spending across the board by 20%. But what it is going to do is it's going to allow people to budget and plan. So we're going to have the data that allows us to tell you relatively accurately that over the next year, you need to set aside $5,000, $10,000, whatever the amount is for your healthcare expenses based both on your personal history and comparing you to similar users. And so what that allows our users to do is to not go bankrupt, not to have these unexpected medical expenses pile up so that they can accurately budget and plan until their insurance takes over.
The big thing is right now, people don't have any clue what they spend. I mean, if you ask me how much I spend on healthcare, I would have no idea my total bill. I might be able to ballpark what comes out of pocket, but even then, I'd have to look at my premiums and try to total it all up. When you do that across the board, people will be off by magnitudes, right? And so the difference is when you're heading into retirement, I imagine that people are starting to do some research, but even still, you don't really have an accurate view of what you've spent historically, nor do you have any understanding of how that's going to change when you're in retirement. And it will change because as you retire, you tend to consume healthcare more.
Do you see people using Orderly Health in conjunction with, say, a financial advisor or something along those lines?
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, I'd love to hear James' perspective. I'd say from a doctor too, you know, going in and saying, hey, look, this is how I've spent for the last 5 years. Somebody in retirement generally has a doctor that they've worked with for, you know, more than one visit kind of thing. So,
yeah, any thoughts on that? I mean, I think there's a huge asset, and that's why we talk about empowering the consumer, right? Is that we want our users to be empowered by the knowledge of how they're consuming healthcare so that when they go talk to the doctor, they can look at their budget, have looked at the app or the website and said, all right, my healthcare expenses are predicted to be $11,000. I can really only set aside $8,000 for it. going to the doctor and talk to them. Maybe there's a different drug. Maybe they can hold off on doing that cardiac scan. And they can start putting a way of controlling costs into that conversation that currently doesn't happen. And that's one of, for me at least, a fundamental friction with the healthcare system, is that as a provider, you don't know what it's going to cost. As a patient, you don't know what it's going to cost. And so you're just making decisions in the dark. And when that happens, there's no brakes on spending. And that's how you end up with people that come into the physician's office, get put on the latest and greatest insulin, but they can't afford it. So they get it for maybe a month, and then they stop taking insulin altogether. And then they end up in the hospital. And I mean, that's a very real scenario that happens across this country. And that's hugely inefficient.
So then do you think that orderly health might encourage positive choices in a consumer's health?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm personally most excited about as far as orderly health is trying to break down some of the psychosocial aspects that keep people from engaging with their healthcare. Healthcare is a scary thing to think about. People don't like to think about being sick. They don't like to think about spending money at a hospital. But if we build our product in such a way that we can engage our users on a more frequent basis and engage them on both their healthy spending, so let's say they go to a chiropractor, get a massage, or join a gym, that's all money they're spending on their health. But it's something that people don't have this barrier to engaging with. And so if you can kind of use that as an avenue in, then you can start getting them to think about, okay, well, what about my medications? Okay, that's a little less scary. Okay, well, how am I going to budget for this knee surgery or whatever it is? And it allows them to start engaging with paying for healthcare in a much less scary and intimidating way. And I think that's where you can really start to have a transformative effect on people's lives.
All right. So where do you see orderly health 5 years from now?
I think that one of the things that we're really excited about with Orderly is just how different and how far this could go. We think that by introducing a tool that consumers can use and, like James said, encouraging users to interact with their healthcare more, you can open up all sorts of avenues for better understanding and better engagement with your health and wellness altogether. Among the things that we've talked about is making Orderly, almost gamifying it through engagement and little trivia questions and things like that, where people are actually engaging with their healthcare at the same time as learning about population level health statistics. In terms of actual, from a business standpoint, we make ourselves into a very attractive acquisition model because we have a tremendous amount of data, and we also have, the hope would be that we have the trust of the consumer. So we are very different from a payer in that aspect, where we're continually engaging and have the ability to communicate with the consumer in a back and forth conversation. In addition, we'd love to be a standalone business that, we manage people's health and their expenses and in ways that we're actually able to see trending improvements over time, where our users are engaging with healthcare more and actually spending less because of it. That'd be a dream come true, I think, for both of us.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, and finally, what role do you foresee Orderly Health playing in the lives of its users in the future?
I'm a technologist at heart. I'm an early adopter. I love mobile apps. I always think, when they say there's an app for that, I'm one of those people who evangelizes to my friends, hey, there's a tool. You're complaining about this problem. There's a tool out there that'll help you solve that. My hope is that Orderly will become that tool on the healthcare front. And as we've discussed, I think it's not in isolation. It's something that you would do with other things as well. You start to understand how you're spending on healthcare holistically. Your gym membership, your acupuncture, your chiropractic, all of that goes in, and ultimately you then get a better picture of your healthcare, and that becomes a sort of a flywheel where you're encouraged to engage more. My hope is that Orderly will open the door for a lot of people in terms of just seeing data that they've never seen before, seeing the way that they spend, and that rather than becoming a negative, they turn it into a positive and saying, you know what, I actually have control over this. This doesn't feel like my healthcare is controlling me.
Well, Kevin, James, thank you for sharing your insights with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
While the U.S. healthcare cost curve has recently begun to bend, overall spending is still growing, which means that Americans should expect to pay more for their healthcare than citizens of other nations while receiving a level of care that is at best just as good as that provided elsewhere. Yet as the founders of Orderly Health have demonstrated in this interview, help may be on the way, with digital health companies developing new technologies that seek to get Americans the care they need as quickly, safely, and affordably as possible. Thank you for joining us today. I'm John Michael Oro, and this has been the CyberMed News Podcast, where we bring you the people, ideas, and companies transforming healthcare.